You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
Another episode of the Bison Report Radio podcast brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum, and joining me here today, Blake Ingebrigtsen. Blake, how are you, man?
Doing all right. We're here. I believe it was two seasons ago. That would have been, Cam Miller's senior year, sitting around, and that was when Brett McMurphy, I think, went on 1660, and there are all these rumors, and that it didn't happen, and you kind of wonder, like, is this ever going to happen in the next, 5 years? Because the 10th title was fun, but at the same time, the bread was stale and the circus was getting boring at times. So it needed to be done, and I'm glad we're here.
We are. I have my thoughts about week zero, but other than that, it's hard to not be excited. And I guess now that it is game week, I'm happy that it's game week. They are narrowing in on a sellout. We're recording this. You guys are probably going to get this right here on a Thursday afternoon. No reason to, but 400 tickets left, something like that. The last time we saw, I think
it's down to 250 or so.
Yeah,
I saw this morning.
So we'll do a little bit of a season preview today, and pair that with our actual game preview for Saturday's contest, 4:30 kick. That'll be new, and I think just kind of shocking everybody out of their rhythm is going to be a little bit new this year. These are going to be, it's a FBS conference, which means these games are going to be nationally televised on various networks. And ultimately that means different game times, because now you're fitting into TV windows. And even though that 2:30 p.m. kick that NDSU got is the second TV window for a college football Saturday, you're dealing with different networks, different times. A lot of later games for road games, a lot of night games for road games, some ones that are going to start deep into the evening. And I think it'll be an interesting adjustment for everybody involved, but an incredibly, incredibly exciting time to be a Bison fan, in my belief. Season preview. Paulsek says don't read too much into the depth chart. That said, we're going to take a look at the depth chart here. Linebacker spot is really interesting. Donovan Woolen moving inside to that Mike linebacker position with Gavin Sell. I know they're really, really excited about Sell, as much as Logan Kopp has held down that other inside position. Sell is just a much bigger athlete. I'm not saying he's going to be as good of a player or a better player, but they've really got, two absolute gargantuans inside for the first time in a really, really long time. Now, height and weight does not necessarily a football player make. It doesn't automatically make them awesome. That's not how it works. With that said, though, boy, you talk about just the raw size. I mean, I've got Sell at 6'2", 230 to be paired with Donovan at 6'4", 230. That's some length. That's some size. They'll probably be you know, the big, one of the bigger inside linebacking tandems in the Mountain West. I mean, I can remember times with Jackson Hankey and James Kaser, where you're about 3 inches and 20 pounds lighter at both positions. So it's an interesting thing. Ray James at the SAM, what a rise for him. I mean, again, the depth chart of this depth chart, don't look into it that much, but as much base as they play, like if Ray James goes out there and plays 55 snaps against Jacksonville State, that's a crazy rise to prominence considering how little he's been used. Peter Haugo in that mix, Alex Elliott in that mix, Fargo's own Oliver Lucht in that mix, and then Keith Williams is the surprising one to me. I really liked his film. Believe he was Cornell?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ivy.
And I thought, I really liked his film, really thought he was going to come in and make an immediate impact, which doesn't mean that he's not going to, but I would have guessed that he and Woolen were two of the three starters, and that third spot was up for grabs. Not the way that it's shaking out now, but I think that they'll move stuff around in the linebacker room. How about you?
Yeah, to be honest, my guess would have been Williams and Sell to play kind of inside with Donovan, you know, at that detached spot. But
in short yardage, that might be the case.
Yeah, and because like they're going to move guys around, like you said.
I mean, Williams is 6'1", 240. Williams is like a face mask bender with a neck roll. I mean, he doesn't wear a neck roll,
got that Leighton Vander Esch look going on.
Yeah, that's old school bend your face mask type stuff.
And, you know, they kind of did this, maybe not this exactly, but a few years ago where they kind of platooned Nick Kubitz and Luke Wirtz at the mic. You know, I think one, Wirtz was a bit more of a run-oriented, whereas Kubitz could cover a little more ground. I don't know if, you know, Donovan obviously can cover ground. I mean, if you look at, like, PFF and his coverage stats out of the slot, it's very impressive.
For a guy that big, yeah.
And just his film. So I think they can definitely move pieces around. But, you know, if Ray James is going to – if he's going to hoop like that, then get him on the field. And that's their whole deal is – it's the same as the O-line, what they've said the last couple of years. We got to get the best guys on the field, depending on personnel, of course.
Corner, Marion Moore, that's a Wisconsin kid. That's exciting. DJ Volz is one of the two Division II transfers. Najee Nelson, Raja's big little brother, but definitely bigger than Raj. And then Kendrick Carter, who's really interesting because such a... like speed merchant and a big deal in recruiting, but I think got to campus like literally at 160 pounds. They list him at 179 now, which is still a little slight for FBS football. But hey, man, if he can go, he can go. That's a Dallas kid, right? That's that Frisco pipeline or that North Texas pipeline. They're not recruiting the entire state of Texas. I don't even know if that could be done. They've talked about it really not being able to be done, but seeing some younger corners on here, and I get that. I talk about it all the time. I used to live with Christian Dudzik right after he got done with NDSU, and Christian had played that first year of his at corner and then transitioned back out to free safety. And he said the most difficult position on the defense to play athletically is corner. It's the easiest position to play mentally. There just aren't that many different responsibilities. You got to know the call. You got to know alignment. You got to know assignment. But it's not that hard of a position specific to specific to responsibilities. Like the corner responsibilities are easy to master playbook-wise. They are hard to do physically. Like, corner is a very demanding position athletically.
Yeah, they talk about it being one of the toughest mental positions, but I think what people mean by that is if you're getting cooked on the outside, then, pick yourself back up, next play kind of thing. But what you're saying, there's not as much of an assignment as far as you need to know this, this, and that.
Right.
And we'll see. There's a lot of, you know, they don't list them as freshmen anymore. So,
what would it be? Year one, first year.
It'd be second year, first year. I think EJ Davis is third year. So, I mean, these are, aside from Chance Tucker, who's older, they're pretty young. So we'll see how they get tested, especially this week with a 6'8 receiver out there against a bunch of 5'11 corners. But to me, this is the biggest question of the defense and maybe of the team. Not that there's not potential here, but I don't feel like I'm alone in that either.
Yeah, and I mean, when you talk about that thing I just said with Christian, yeah, Q Barnslater at 6'170", that's pretty skinny. But Deron Russell up at that 180 mark, you know, you've got guys that if they keep doing what they're supposed to do in the weight room, keep adding good weight, there's no penalty. Just go play. Mm-hmm. You have your five to play five. That's it. So there is no more four-game rule. There are no more red shirts. If you're playing, you're playing. You know, and I know, you know, they can't dress 105 kids, but there are no penalties to sending these kids out there to play. So that's interesting. The D-line, Keenan Wilson and Logan Larson, Elijah Wayne, Vanderpool, they're deep there and good on the interior. And then it'll be interesting to see what the defensive end group has. I've been waiting on Kelton McCaslin his entire time here. Stenbroughton was a big deal out of Wisconsin, Vicus Sele. And then Anthony Oakes was a sack master at Montana Tech. And they'll be, you know, deep enough or interesting to kind of follow. Alante Burley, a guy that just got put on scholarship, right? Does he get an opportunity? The K-State kid, Truman Griffith, does he get an opportunity? It'll just be interesting to watch because, again, there's nothing stopping any of these guys. You know, from a usage perspective, there's no reason not to use any of them. So we'll see who earns reps, and no more worrying about burning nothing. If Daniel Devine shows that it's time, it's going to be time. And I think pass rush is, I'm more on the optimistic side when I've seen how NDSU's developed players for as many years as they have. I don't get super bent out of shape, you know, about a lack of returning production, because especially when you know, some of these guys like, you know, I know he's not on the list yet, but like Ethan Wood was a big time recruit. Oh, yeah. That was a big deal. Stenbroughton was a big deal. Like there are guys on these lines, and again, Kelton McCaslin, one of them, Vicus Sele, one of them. Like, there's some recruiting dogs, and you can't get a bunch of pressures and sacks without reps. And now they're going to get reps, and they've had development. So I'm really interested to see how that whole thing goes.
I'm kind of wondering, you know, with D-end, a lot of time when you look at production, you look for sacks and TFLs. But I wonder if there's not, and maybe I think I might already know the answer, is how they evaluate that room. Whether that's just based off not knockback, you know, just making the quarterback throw him off his platform, so to speak. You know, maybe you don't get to him, but you force a dud to come out of his hand. Maybe that's just a coping way of saying they can't get to the quarterback, so we look at other ways. But I just don't, you're not going to see a 2014 Kyle Emanuel out of this group, but somebody who can get to the quarterback, throw him off his rhythm, make him step out in the pocket, or flush him out of the pocket. So we'll see. I think McCaslin and Desale have that ability, but there's certainly a lot to go around in that room. To me, it's the biggest strength of the defense, along with maybe the safety room, which is actually next on the list. Man, you look at the safety room, they didn't lose really anybody. With all due respect to Ryan Jones, they didn't really lose much of anything in the safety room. I'm very eager to see what those guys produce.
And if you're able to play nickel without diving super deep into your corner depth, I mean, You know, he's beaten on a couple of slot fades, which is maybe the toughest route to cover, period. You know, Crumby's had some ups and downs. But if you're able to, you know, utilize the fact that you do have a bunch of dogs in the safety room, there's plenty of NFL teams playing three safety nickel, right? Like, just because you want to play nickel does not mean you have to kick a corner inside. You can do it a bunch of different ways. And, I mean, Grant Olsen is one of the smartest defensive football people I've ever been around. He'll certainly figure out how to use his personnel. I'm really excited for Gio and what he, you know, might have in store for that entire conference. Specialist, nothing crazy. Drew Klein is going to be the kicker. There'd been some talk about there's a true freshman,
yep.
Long kid, like tall for a kicker, is maybe like, oh, we need to try a 55-yarder, we need to try a 60-yarder at the end of the half, and even as a kickoff specialist, but it sounds like Drew's going to do it. Bickerton, the Brit, the Englishman, is going to be the punter, and then they'll go with C.J. Anderson as the long snapper, and then you wonder... You need, I would say, and we'll talk about this group, I mean, you need this wide receiver room to step up because you would like, no, he's never been hurt doing it, but there is a reason that Ja'Marr Chase doesn't return punts. There is a reason that Justin Jefferson doesn't return punts, right? There's a reason that even at Green Bay, even with all of his unbelievable success, Christian Watson is not their kick returner. As good as he was returning kicks at NDSU, Christian Watson doesn't return kicks for the Packers. So, you know, how long do you have a guy like Jackson Williams as your primary punt returner, as your primary kick returner, if he's getting Bryce Lance-level volume in the passing game? And the only way not to give him Bryce Lance-level volume in the passing game is if the tight ends, Reese Kessel, All Mountain West, here we come, or... the wide receiver group can step up in that way. Running back room, everybody's really excited about DJ Scott, Miles Money Mitchell, and this young man, this tailback who spent time on Holy Cross's track team at an absolutely absurd 6'1", 225, and I've seen him. This man is a unit, like full on. And the reason I'm kind of stalling here is I asked for a Nioti Puni. We got the pronunciation assistance from
Nioti Puni.
There you go. And I tell you what, man, he's gonna come in. And he's going to look like a bruiser. He might be the fastest tailback on the team. This is a freak. And I don't know how much like nuance there is to his game or patience or experience. But if they crease one with him, he'll hit his head on the goalpost. I mean, he might just keep running to Taco Bell. Like, if he's going towards the north end zone. Like, he is unbelievable. I've seen it in practice where... he'll split the safeties. And Givens and those guys are not unathletic, but this kid moves. So he's really exciting. Mentioned the pass catching group. You know, Reese Kessel had a little bit of scare. I think Zen's going to be your blocker. I think Reese has a chance to be such a mismatch, even at the FBS level. I just because there were FCS guys that can't cover him, I think there's an equally large amount of FBS guys that can't cover him. Reese has a chance to really be something. But man, then you talk about some dudes from a recruiting perspective, right? Like Gabe Cunningham was a big deal. Jet Zabel was a big deal. You've got Abe Myers as a fullback convert. That's going to be really interesting. And then Coquette feels like he's been here forever. I think they'll be deep in that room. At receiver, they got to replace Bryce Lance. You're not going to do that on a one-to-one basis, but his classmate, Mekhi Collins, I think is, or were they the same recruiting class?
You're apart.
You're apart, okay. So Mekhi came in after Bryce, I mean, as one of the biggest recruits in school history. he's had the Mekhi Collins game. I think that was a playoff game. Like, he did the thing.
Mercer.
You've seen it. Jackson Williams will be the number one. After that, though, you've got Isaiah St. Romain out of Williston. Patterson, who I believe, is that the West Virginia transfer?
Arizona.
Arizona transfer. Yep. I think the West Virginia transfer might be a little
Jordan McCants
behind, just from a depth chart thing, from a depth chart perspective. Excuse me. Let's see. Gunner or Keel, Chris Keel, who they just need to keep healthy, and he's been really exciting at times during practices. And Kate Osterman. I think had a little like flash during that crazy ETSU game. But as a guy with decent size, you know, spent some time with Minnesota, maybe his career hasn't gone exactly the way that he wants, but again, like I think you'd be excited for him as a fifth or sixth option, just with that Big Ten pedigree. The quarterback, I mean, we've talked about it from a tools perspective. I don't know that they've had a better situation than Nathan Hayes, just from a tools. Like, who is the fastest and who throws it the furthest? Now, there are a million things that go into quarterbacking. By the way, there are things that are more important than those things that go into quarterbacking. Processing, decision-making, accuracy, touch. All of that is a huge deal. Thankfully, Nathan has spent time with Coach Beshorner. Thankfully, Nathan has spent time with Randy Hedberg. Been developed, is in his fifth year with the program. But again, as a raw ball of clay, I mean, I think it's Trey Lance or him. Because Carson was a good athlete, and it was cool because he was like Ben Roethlisberger's size. But if we're just talking like, are they athletic enough to play a different position or... You know, are they truly a mismatch? I think Nathan Hayes is there with Trey Lance from a physical tools perspective.
Yeah, I think that was at the Tennessee State game 2 years ago when he had like a 50-yard rushing touchdown in the fourth
quarter. And he would have scored in flag football.
Yeah.
He would have scored in flag football.
And then there was a Missouri State game where he comes in at the end and he throws some Jordan Love like touchdown to Johnny Gores. His feet are pointed the wrong direction and he throws a dime 40 yards down the field. So that's been, I mean, they've liked him for years. I believe, yeah. I don't know if it was me or you or some other media asked him, like, is your ability to use Cole Payton and kind of that wildcat as much as you do, let him get hit because of how highly you think of Nathan Hayes? The answer was yes.
Yeah.
And so they loved his ability. I love his ability. He can sling it.
I think your big question, not to cut you off, but so my question is this. Is Preston Brown such a great athlete that he has to touch the football? Or is Preston Brown so exciting that you're okay putting Nathan Hayes in danger?
Yeah,
there's two different ways because when Cam Miller was a Walter Payton Award candidate, guess what? There was still a Cole Payton package. And they might think the world of Nathan Hayes, but there still might be a Preston Brown package. I am very interested to see, and that's just and we'll get to Jacksonville State, but that's what's so cool. And Bison fans are going to need to kind of recalibrate and be okay with close games and be okay with losing. But like, this is a 6.5-point game in Vegas. And guess what? There's going to be games that are like 3-point lines, which we're just lost. Like,
they're going to be underdogs in a few games.
Yeah, it's very new. But just in general, man, how exciting it would be, or how exciting it just is for a 6.5-point game to be the first game of the year. Like, there's a real football game coming this Saturday that they might not win. And I know that almost sounds pessimistic, but, like, it's real football coming. It's not, you know, and God bless Fordham, because it's, well, good Lord. But, like, there's not a sacrifice in week one, and even when they thought they weren't scheduling a sacrifice, like Eastern Washington at US Bank, guess what? Folk got sacrificed. Like, it's just a different thing. Anyway, we've lost the thread here. Gage Schmidt wins a center job. former walk-on. Babbitt's super freak space alien. Like, I don't think you ever want to lose a Bo Johnson to Vanderbilt. But if you're going to lose a Bo Johnson, putting a Ryan Babbitt there is really, really useful. Empey, All-America opportunity at left guard. Gage and then Megan, who will be a tall guard, but will be interesting there and good that he won the job. And then Kenna Inenna, Toby's brother, after some time at Kansas, winning that right tackle job is pretty cool. Tosted, Okeson, and Stummis, they're really impressed, I think, with Stummis. And then they've got some freshman offensive linemen, and you never assume, and I think it's smart not to assume, you never assume that they're just going to be able to throw a freshman offensive lineman out there. But, man, they've got some freshmen, and unfortunately I think they did lose one of them for the season. But they have some freshman offensive linemen that you really, you know, would think would have a chance, would have a chance to help them later in the season, maybe as they add weight and add strength.
Yeah, this O-line is it's an interesting. They've never shied away, or at least Polasek has never shied away from putting a mountain at guard. He did it with Jake Rock. He did it with Hunter Pontius when he got hurt.
Yeah, they've had tall guards. My thing that guards should be 6'4" or less. No one cares.
Yeah.
They have not done tall centers, but yeah, I mean, you're right. They put tackle bodies in at guard plenty.
And they move. They tried the MP.
Jack Plankers is one of the biggest people I've ever met, yeah. And he played guard.
They've tried moving guys around. Outside, like, they tried putting MP at tackle, which I think was interesting. But yeah. Tosted, it looks like he's put on a lot of weight getting back from an injury, MCL, I believe it was.
Sure.
But Okeson's a big guy. Stummis, they really like. I don't know if they're going to want to do the musical chairs anymore that they did last year. So I don't know how much they're going to move guys around. I guess we'll see. But this offense is and good for Gage Schmidt. You know, I know you asked the question on Tuesday about walk-ons. He ain't the first one to do this. Griffin Empey's a former walk-on. He's All-American. It's really special what, you know, I know he's retired, but what Kramer and the strength and what they've been able to do with that position.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there's moving parts. I'm just almost never worried. I'm just almost never worried about the Rams. Like, it usually gets figured out.
Right.
Jacksonville State. Oh, you gave an update. Look at you working hard. 250 tickets left as of noon on Thursday. I have to think that will be sold out just saying that now. Like, I think you would get 250 walk-ups, would be my guess. I don't know that for absolute sure, but I feel pretty good about that. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's because that was not noon. I lied. That was like 8 a.m. But I guess there's some return team tickets okay. That went on sale this morning. Jacksonville State probably
2 tickets left in Section 6.
JSU probably didn't sell out their corner section.
Sure.
So there might be a few more, but. Yeah, I mean, you got to think we're going to get real close. And even if they don't, this is still 18-5 we're looking at, which is really something we've only seen. Let's see, I got here in 2022. I can probably count on one hand the amount of times we've gotten that. So I'm really excited to see a packed and energized dome.
Absolutely. Again, you don't... The FCS area was so wonderful that you don't want to talk down on it, right? But this is just so exciting and different. And, you know, we talked about it. Why would the 11th national championship feel different than the 10th? And, you know, odds are, unless there's some sort of reconfiguration of college football, we've seen our last national championship, but that's okay. It is. Yeah. It's okay. You know, men's basketball is not going to win one either, but that doesn't mean that the pursuit of one is not incredibly, incredibly fun. And you know what? I mean, how many? It doesn't matter. I'm going to get down a giant rabbit hole that just doesn't matter. Jacksonville State, 9 games each of their first 3 FBS years in Conference USA. Conference USA, as you pointed out here, is probably a worse conference. It is a worse conference than the Mountain West. There's just no question about it. It's a worse conference than the American Athletic Association or American Athletic Conference, AAC?
Yes.
Yeah, AAC. Yeah. You're right. I mean, I think the Conference USA is probably similar to a Valley level of play, despite that FBS and FCS difference, if you will. They have lost a bunch of guys, mainly to West Virginia. Is that because Rich Rod was there?
It is.
Yeah, how about that? Their starting quarterback's going to be Caden Creel. You comped him to Bo Brungardt?
I did not do that.
Okay.
Coach P did. He said his name wrong on Tuesday. I don't know what the heck he said. But
Coach has a lot on his mind.
But that was essentially the comp.
Yeah.
He's a dude. He's an athletic freak. I mean, he ran for 1,000 yards, and he did not start the whole season. And so this dude's going to be an issue. I don't know how they're going to defend that. I don't know if it's really a spy kind of thing type deal, but they're going to have to wrap up. And this receiver, man, 6'8".
Yeah.
Receiver. Man, that's not a lot of fun for
I know. And at least he's productive. I can't tell you how many 6'6" receivers haven't worked out. You know, like people see these enormous guys and get, you know, crazy excited. But even like, man, the NFL receiving leaders, and I'm not saying this to dump on the kid. I just, people get excited about this stuff. And oh my God, he's 6'8". What are they going to do? How productive was he last year? Like how many total yards was it?
Well, I think he had about 30 to 35 catches, so.
But that's 3 a game. He's not, yeah, you know, ruining your life. Like,
it is 24 yards a catch also.
I get that. But like in the NFL, Jackson Smith and Jigba's 6 foot tall. Puka's 6'2". You know, Pickens is a bigger guy at 6'3". But even Jamar Chase is just 6 feet tall. Yeah. Like, being 6'8 does not make you Randy Moss, is all I'm saying. Because I've just heard the words 6'8 too much. It's driving me insane. Like, yes, it's cool. He's tall. I don't know. And if he goes for 8 and 202 and they win because of him, I'll have egg all over my face. But this like fear that a 5'11" corner simply cannot guard a 6'8" wide receiver, it's not true. I'm not buying that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, that's not really what I was.
I know. I'm not yelling at you.
And I get he's not Calvin Johnson either, but I'm just saying he is productive. And so it is something to be. Right, because like you said, I mean, Puka Nacua,
yeah,
all these guys, they're not mountains. I mean, they're not
no.
Kelvin Johnson or Randy Moss, but
no.
He's just something to keep, someone to keep an eye on. It is really all.
They list Justin Jefferson at 6'1", 195.
Right. So it's a skill position.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see. But You know where to be. You know where to be this Saturday. 4:30.
We'll be there. CBS Sports Network, if you can't make it, if you're not one of these, you know, folks that have one of the 18,800 that have bought tickets, or what now, 18,600? We need 200 more.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's an exciting time to be a Bison, an exciting time to get what's, I think, going to be a beautiful day, like the tailgate, plus that later tailgate. It might be rocking. 4:30 in the afternoon is 2 more hours to have beers than people have been, you know, used to. So I hope the crowd is loud. I hope it's rowdy. This is a new thing. I hope there's some new touches inside. I mean, we'll see. They've done a lot of that, but man, it's going to be cool.
I think Coach P might have a few extra fist pumps.
Yeah.
So,
all right. Well, we will see you all on Saturday. Have a great Bison-filled weekend, and go Bison.